Bibles or your pew Bibles to John 14. John 14. We've been going through a series, and it began with that statement of faith and truth from God's Word in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, where it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. All things are passed away, behold, all things have become new." And that dynamic, if you will, of being in Christ is so important. That's the anchor of our faith. That's a wonderful hope and promise of eternal life that we have, being in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, then you're not in salvation. If you're not in Christ, you're not in that new life. If you're not in Christ, then you don't have that new future, that new and living hope. But being in Christ, we have all that God has for us in Him, because in Christ Jesus, we have everything we need for life and godliness. And as we mentioned in the beginning of the series, that's one of the dynamics, if you will, the new life in Jesus Christ. But the other side, if you will, and just as dynamic, is Christ in you, Christ in us, Christ in the church, the hope of glory. And we want to take a look at that aspect, because that's just as important, that Christ is in you. He'll always be there. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. We have so many new blessings and graces that you and I have every day because of being in Christ and Christ being in us. You see, that's really what salvation is all about. That's, if you will, the energy, the power, the reality of living between being born again and going to heaven. Yes, those two events are real. And they always will be real in the child of God's life. They will always be real in the life of the church. Being born again by grace through faith in Christ alone. And also going to heaven. But there's so much more between that you and I are experiencing every day of our lives. We experience individually. We experience as our families. We experience as a church family too. So if you join with me here in John chapter 14. And take out your outline, if you will. It also says in God's Word, let me read that passage from 1 Corinthians. It's in your outline. "But as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him." God is saying the best is yet to come. But always, the best is Son Jesus Christ has already come into your life and the life of South Mountain Bible Church. And He's brought so many things. And one day, indeed, we will see all the amazing, incomprehensible blessings and the graces of God on that day to come. But between now and then, we get glimpses, we get hints, we get disclosures in the Word of God. We see God working in His grace, the grace of the gospel, working in lives, working in marriages. We see it working in families. We see it working in churches around the world when we hear the stories of what God is doing in the ministry of our missionaries that we support. It's all of God. Praise God. Amen? And so there's much that we can see. And here in John chapter 14, it's referred to as the Upper Room Discourse. And it covers from John 14 right into the 16th chapter. And the 17th chapter takes us into the prayer room with Jesus Christ and the Father there in the Garden of Gethsemane. But here in the chapters 14 through 16, we have the upper room discourse. And we have here in the 14th chapter, the Lord is telling his disciples not to worry. Now, I know none of you worry here. But I guarantee you know some people that worry. Try to meet them every morning in the mirror, don't you? Yeah. Okay, so we all can get anxious, fearful, worrisome. But here in this background, if you will, the Lord knew exactly what He was going to endure, what He was going to go through in His crucifixion and 3 days in the tomb, but also His resurrection. But He also knew, too, all that His beloved disciples would face, all that they would feel, all that they would fear. And so He gives them these words of encouragement to prepare them. But much more than prepare them, because it's God's word for you and I. And these truths not only prepare our hearts for times of stress, fear, and anxiety and worry, times of trouble, and tribulation. But these words give us the power to endure and together with Christ go through them. Pray with me right now. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the living word, your Son, Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. And we receive through Christ your Son grace upon grace. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, who instructs our hearts, our minds, our very souls with this, your living word. And Father, we thank you that, Lord, you have recorded and preserved these teachings of your Son, Jesus Christ, to the disciples then in the upper room, but also to your disciples today. So, Lord, may your word effectively work in our lives, in the life of South Mountain Bible Church, for your glory, that you, Lord Jesus, would be exalted. You are the head of the church. You are the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And Heavenly Father, it's our prayer, too, that this, your word, will encourage each and every one who's here this morning, that we would experience again and again every day your power through that wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. We ask this, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. In chapter 14, and we'll be going through verses 1 through 6, a very important passage that has encouraged many believers going through difficult times, facing death, and even those that, if you will, have survived loved ones that have preceded them in death, where this passage has ministered to. But not only in times of death, but in times of challenges that you and I face in our private lives, face in our homes and our families, you and I face as a church family too. So here, if you will, verse 1, chapter 14, John. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Beginning here, if you will, we can experience a peace that only Jesus Christ provides. Take a look at your outline. We all need that peace, don't we? You know, sin's curse here in this world that you and I have been born into and live every day of our lives, the curse of sin affects every part of our lives. It affects every relationship. It affects every aspiration that our young people have. Our sons, our daughters, our grandsons, granddaughters. It affects everything that you and I experience in this world. The curse of sin affects that. And some of the results, if you will, are consequences of that sin's curse and the effects that it brings is fear, anxiety, worry, broken relationships, all sorts of things that we can certainly see every day around about us. But here it says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Talking about he's giving them peace. And he mentions that peace that he's going to give them, and that he did give them a number of times here in the closing of John's Gospel, but we also see it reiterated a number of times in the letters that the apostles wrote, because the peace of God is so very important. But let's take a look, if you will, in this verse here, that we can experience the peace that only Jesus provides. John 14, you have that in your outline. John 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. This is the peace of Jesus Christ. This isn't the peace of your next door neighbor. This isn't the peace of the president. This is not the peace of the Congress or the Senate. This is the peace of Jesus Christ. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you, I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Again, in Philippians, we mentioned the apostles too, picking up this theme of peace, shalom, the peace of God that passes all understanding to guard our hearts and minds. In Philippians, do not be anxious or worry or fearful. You can translate that same word. Do not be anxious, worry, or fearful about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Then again, take a look at Colossians here in your outline. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let it captivate. Let it control. Let it rule every feeling, every thought. And so it can deal with the issues of anxiety and fear and worry and frustrations and everything. Let the peace of Christ, Jesus Christ, rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. Let Christ's peace prevail in the families within the church family here. Let Christ's peace prevail in the family of God here at South Mountain Bible Church. That's what he's saying. All in one body, be thankful, then let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let me ask you this morning, we've got a couple of personal application questions here. What is robbing you of God's peace in your life today? Is there anything robbing you of God's peace? Is it something that, if you will, some sin that you're caught up in? Is it a broken relationship that you're in and you're just coming out of, you're entering into? Is it a sickness, an illness, some physical need? Is it fears or worry, disappointments, failure, or something else? What is robbing you today of God's peace? This peace right now that Christ is talking to his disciples, but also talking to you and I about. This is Christ's peace. Not something that's artificially created. Not something that we can kind of really pump people up, you know? Like Arnold Schwarzenegger, I'm going to pump you up, right? No! It's a real peace. It's a peace that will control your thoughts, your feelings, your aspirations. That's what Christ is talking about. Because just as he knew what they were going to go through, in the ensuing hours and days, he knows exactly what you and I are going to go through and what we're going through right now. And he says, let my peace be your portion. Let my peace rule in your heart. Real peace begins with believing in and trusting in and walking with Jesus every day. The peace of Jesus Christ, strengthens and deepens in your life through the abiding word of God. God uses his word to bring peace into our hearts. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, but let the words of Christ dwell richly in you. Do you see the connection? The word peace is used so many times throughout the word of God. Our peace with God through Jesus Christ's sacrifice and resurrection and believing in him as our Savior and Lord. A peace of God within our hearts to deal with those issues of fears and anxieties and worries. A peace with each other. Peace with one another. The Word of God is so important. The Word of God brings us to God. The Word of God brings us to the cross of Jesus Christ, so you and I confess that we're sinners and we need that cleansing work of Christ's blood, that saving work of his grace. The peace, the word of God brings us not only to the cross, but to the empty tomb. And know that Jesus, our Savior, he was a victor and always will be in triumph over death, disease, whatever else you and I face. God's word also brings us that hope and healing and counsel and correction. A number of years ago, I had the opportunity to meet at a counseling conference, Richard Gantz. Richard Gantz was a psychiatrist, and he worked at a VA hospital. When he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, first his wife got saved. They were touring Europe, and they went to Madrid there in Switzerland. She came to know Jesus Christ through the ministry of the gospel there at Madrid. That's what Philip had been working in. Isn't that wonderful? See the connection? Amen. And we're connected with it, okay? But Richard Gantz, he was looking at his wife, and she said, I know Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Dick really had a lot of questions about that, being a clinical psychiatrist and working with VA and seeing a lot of things that are false and people hope on. And he said, well, I don't know if it's going to be really true. And so, of course, he saw a change and transformation. Not only his wife's life, but also affected their relationship as husband and wife. And began to see the reality of Jesus Christ in her life. He came to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. You know what the first thing that he did? He began to use the Word of God in his counseling of veterans there at the VA hospital. Those that had all sorts of different syndromes, from the war and various other things that tying into their lives. And he began to see that the Word of God works. It does bring counsel, it does bring hope, it does bring healing. And so the head of the department said, something's happening here. But when he went to see Dick Gantz, he saw a Bible on his desk in his counseling room. He said, oh, that's got to go. we're a government thing here. We have a separation between government and Christianity. And the word of So Dick said, well, if that's got to go, then I've got to go. And so he became a Christian counselor up there just outside of Philadelphia and went to Westminster Theological Seminary. And now Dick Gans and his wife are in the pastor, and he's training counselees using what? God's Word. God's Word. That's why it says, let the peace of Jesus Christ rule in your hearts, and let the words of Christ dwell richly in you. There's that undeniable connection between the Word of God and God's peace. The peace of God in Jesus Christ. But let's go on, because there's so much more that we need to see here. So the ensuing verses 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, but I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Peace about the future. Peace about your future, my future, our future as a church family. Peace about the future of your children, your grandchildren. My Father's house are many rooms. I go and prepare a place for you. And I will come back and I will take you to be with me, so that you are with me. You see, take a look, if you will, at your outline before you. 1 John chapter 2, verses 2 and chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, when Jesus appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this thus hopes in Him purifies himself as he is pure. And then you can drop down, if you will, with your eyes down to 1 Thessalonians, which says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive, maybe today, and we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be what? With the Lord. You know something wonderful about this wonderful promise and this wonderful passage in God's Word that brings counsel and encouragement and a living hope in Christ Jesus is the fact that, you know, the place is prepared for in my Father's house, your Father's house. Not somewhere out there. Some annex. Okay, we're gonna put you guys and gals from South Mountain Bible Church over the attic, way out here. No, it's in our Father's house. You know why? Because our Heavenly Father wants all of his family with him to enjoy him and for him to enjoy them. Just like you and I, when we have family reunions, don't you enjoy that time? Some of you may be questioning, I don't know, okay? But that ain't gonna happen up in heaven, let me tell you. But you know, when you have those family reunions, yeah, sometimes there's issues. But I know when we were kids growing up, we look forward to them. The holidays, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. My grandparents, boy, they just loved to have a feast. Come on, kids! Their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren. Even more greatly, our Heavenly Father. Come on, children. Come on, children. I just enjoy and love you so much. Come on. And I want you to have joy in my presence. I want you to see the extent of my love. The place is prepared in our Father's house. Notice also it says it's a place for you. Yes, it's that personal. I prepare a place for you. You know, sometimes we talk in missions, throughout the history of mission of the church, we talk about people movements. We saw that in Indonesia with the Dayaks and other tribes. Some of our missionaries saw that in Irian Jaya when tribal groups would come in mass to Jesus Christ. We see that in the book of Acts, remember? Acts chapter 2, 3,000 were added to the church. There was a people's movement there in Jerusalem. And then in Acts chapter 4, 5,000 people. But each and every one of them, were like you and like me, were a person. Unique. Special. And that's how God saves each and every one of us. That's why Jesus Christ can say to you and to me individually, I go and prepare a place for you. Yeah, the family's going to be there. No doubt about it. But don't forget, he talks to you as you.
He talks to me as me. Aren't you glad? It's not just the crowd, but it's you. You're unique. God's preparing a place for you personally. Aren't you glad? Amen.
A place for you. Jesus is coming in to take you to be with him. Knowing this, we can endure, we can persevere, because Jesus is coming. He's coming to take us to be with him. Knowing this, we can serve him. We can serve him faithfully. That's what Paul says there in 1 Corinthians when he's talking about the end times and the life of the believer and the resurrection. He says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Why? Because he's preparing a place for, and he's coming back and he's going to take us to that place. And what you and I do between now and then is so very important as you and I live the gospel and share the gospel with others. This summer, just in a short period of time, 1 week away, we have Vacation Bible School. Are you going to be involved? Are you going to be involved? Now, you can be involved in many ways, but the thing is, are you going to be involved? We all can be, and we all must be. We must take the path that Jesus prescribes. Take a look at verses 4 and 6. Verse 4. And you know the way that where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, great passage. You have this underlined in your own Bible? Don't underline the Pew Bible, please. Don't do that, okay? But if you have your own Bible, mark a little mark here of your own Bible. I am the way and the truth and the life. He didn't say I am another way. He didn't say I am just another truth. He didn't say I am just another life. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Yes, it's exclusive. Not all religions are true. And it's really not about religion, is it? The bottom line is that you have a relationship with God's Son, Jesus Christ, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. It's not this path goes there and that path goes there. There's only two ways. Take a look at your outline before you. And we have, if you will, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. These are words of Jesus Christ, your Savior. I pray he is. Your Lord, I pray he is. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate that is wide and the way is easy. I'm sorry, let me start over again. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter it, by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. God says in his word that there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is death. That's the way that Jesus Christ is talking about, that broad way. Are you still in the broad way or are you in a narrow way? You know, people sometimes, especially in our culture and the climate of our culture right now, they're saying, you know, you Christians are just so exclusive. No, Jesus Christ is exclusive. And his salvation is wonderful and his salvation is open for all. Whoever so will may come. But it's only through Jesus Christ because he is what? He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. We have to know that. We have to believe that. We have to live that. Yes, Jesus Christ is the only Savior in this sin-cursed world that you and I live in. And he's the only one who will give you peace to guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. He's the only one that will give you his peace that will rule in your heart, in my heart, in our hearts, that his word might dwell richly in us. Let's go on. He is the way. He is the only way. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for our sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Again, Christ is the way, the only way. You know that. I know you know that. When you hear otherwise, you need to correct it. But also not only correcting it, but also living the reality of that, that he is the only way. He's also the truth. He's absolute. He's the absolute truth about God, the salvation we all need. John chapter 1, verse 14, verses 16 through 18. Follow with me as I read that for you. And the Word became flesh. He's talking about Jesus Christ, who is the Word, and the Word was God and was with God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. And Jesus tells us the truth about who the Father is, and he shows us. Jesus tells us the truth about who we are, that we're sinners and we need a Savior. And Jesus tells us the truth about what salvation is. It's not by works, it's not by going to church, not even by about getting baptized. Now, all those things are good and they're important, but they won't save anybody. We're saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. You know that, I know you do. We ought to live it, we ought to share it, though, shouldn't we? Jesus tells us the truth about our next door neighbor. They need to know Jesus Christ. He's not only the way, the truth, but he's also the life. Take a look at your outline before you. He is the giver of eternal life now and the promise of heaven to come. John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29. Take a look at that verse, that passage. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Eternal security for the believer in Jesus Christ, absolutely. For he is the way, the truth, and the life. Not just another way, but the way. Not just another truth, but the truth. Not just another life, but the life that you and I need to live every day in Christ Jesus. Because a Christless, dying world in the darkness of sin and its curse, they need to see the light of Jesus Christ. They really do. Because think of yourself. When you were in that darkness, when you were in that sin and on your way to hell, who brought you the light of Jesus Christ? Was it a Sunday school teacher? Maybe it was a mom or dad. Maybe it was an aunt or an uncle. Maybe it was a brother or sister. But aren't you so glad today that when you were in darkness, someone brought the light to you? Amen. A light. John 11, 25-26. Jesus said to her, to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me will never, he who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? As that question was asked of Martha, it's asked of every one of us here today, this morning. Do you believe this? Is Jesus Christ the way, the truth, and life in your life today? I have to ask that of myself too. Is he the way, the truth, and the life for us as a church family? We know these things. We say these things. We need to live these things every day, don't we? I do. Let me ask you a question. Let's make it personal and absolutely certain in your heart today. If you were to die today, do you know for certain that you would go to heaven? I would dare say most people I meet and I ask that question, most people I meet and ask that question, most people don't know for certain. Even those that have gone to church since yay high up to this high. I think there's a certainty that Jesus Christ wants us all to have. And having that salvation work of grace in our lives and having peace with Christ and in him, to know that if I was to die, if you were to die this morning, if we were to die this morning right now, we would go to heaven. And some people, of course, are very braggadocious. I don't care. I don't care. Let them have stage 4 cancer. and answer that question with the word, I don't care. Let them have some other life-threatening disease or something that's inoperable, something that's incurable from human side, and ask them that question. And would they say again, oh, I don't care? They do care. They do. You and I care. We care about our loved ones. That when we ask them that question, if you were to die today, honey, do you know that you would go to heaven? I don't know. Well, honey, can I tell you? Tell you how you can know for sure? With certainty. I don't think anyone in that context of discussion would ever say, I don't care. Because we do care. Every one of us do. And others do also. Do you want to know with certainty your eternal destination? You can know today. Take a look at your outline at the very close there. Will you right now come to Jesus, who is the right, believe in him, who is the truth, and receive him, who is the light? Turn from your way to the way of Jesus and walk with him today. Now, I know many of you here profess to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and I believe that profession of faith, I really do. But maybe there's just one here. Then all of this is worth it. If that one who is uncertain, not sure, unsaved, hell bound, then it's all worth it right now for us to pray and make sure that that one person knows Jesus Christ. What value do you put on a soul? What would you put on your own soul? What value would you put on the soul of your loved ones? You see, it's that important, isn't it? It's that vital for every one of us. The scripture says everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. You won't. They won't if they believe in him. Join with me in prayer. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who has become our Lord and Savior, who is indeed the way, the truth, and the life. And Father, we thank you for the peace that we have with you through Christ Jesus. We thank you that we can have that peace of God within our hearts, your peace within us, Lord Jesus, that your peace can rule our hearts. Oh, Lord, we pray that your word dwells within us richly. This is your word this morning. And so move us, Father, we pray. And I pray, Father, if there's one person here, a man or woman, who's not unsure that if they were to die today, they would go to heaven. Lord, they've heard about you. They know about you. And I pray that they come to know you. And if they do know you, Lord Jesus, that they would come to that reality, that certainty, that absolute assurance of eternal life right now. Knowing that no one of yours, none of yours, not any one, can be snatched out of your hand. And the Father, who is greater than all, knowing can snatch him out of the Father's hand. So, Father, I just pray right now, and as our heads are bowed, as our eyes are closed, and if you're unsure, would you like to right now make that certainty, that commitment right now, and just say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose again from the grave. Lord, I know about you. I want to know you. I want to know you more. I want to know you more fully that I can make you more fully known to others. Lord, you are the way, the truth, and the life for me. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Give me that certainty of faith, that rock solid faith and trust in you and you alone. And give me the grace, your grace, to share this truth with others, my loved ones at home, people I work with, people I live next to. Lord Jesus, I ask this in your name. Amen.